The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Mixed Shots.
Streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app.
Now, here are Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
Well, here it is, a Monday, not at high noon. We are an hour early. It's 11 a.m. on a Monday, and I'm just happy my key worked to get in the building.
This is just any other Monday right now.
Monday.
Isn't that the Beatles?
Yep, that's a Beatles song.
That's just right. Another Monday.
Were you worried that
they took
the key away?
There are other keys have been taken away. There's a lot of other keys been taken away. Since we last convened last Tuesday, has there been anything that's happened around here?
I think there were eight keys that were taken away.
Eight keys taken away.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That's right.
Jeez. Yep. I was looking for my key.
Everson never got a key.
Right, yeah. I was wondering if I was going to be able to have to knock or what? How to get in? How can I get in?
I had great confidence in myself that I hadn't done anything wrong.
Well, there's probably some of those that got the keys taken away.
They said the same thing.
What did I do? Exactly. All right, and we have two Super Bowl teams that have been determined now. And so 60 years after one team left the city of Dallas, they're going back to the Super Bowl. That would be the Dallas Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
it's routine for these guys.
That's right.
It's kind of routine for them.
Well, it's three out of the last 4 years now that the Kansas City Chiefs have made it.
And?
They're playing another team from the NFC East. And what was the biggest play of the weekend?
Each time a quarterback got hit and knocked out of a game.
It's the biggest play of the weekend.
It was the biggest play of the weekend.
The biggest play of the weekend is Brock Purdy getting hurt.
I think
took all the drama out of that game.
Once again, we found out that teams with the best offensive lines mm-hmm. win.
Very good.
Couldn't protect a quarterback.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Neither one of the losers. San Francisco, how did that happen? They couldn't protect anybody. Bring in the next guy and he gets a concussion.
Well, I mean, you could see how well our defense played against them, that they were going to have some problems. I don't care if Purdy would have finished the game.
Right.
I think he would have had major issues with him. And when you look at the difference in the ball game, it all had to do with what we did versus what Jalen Hurts did not do. And that's turn over the ball.
Right.
And once you do that and you play solid, you play to your defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that defense handled their offense just the way our defense was handling their offense. So I knew they were going to have a problem. I knew Purdy was going to come back down to earth.
That's why we all picked Philadelphia, right?
That's right.
Think about the Dallas-San Francisco game. And really, as you said, the turnovers were huge. And so you're playing from behind rather than from ahead, which is what Philadelphia has been able to do all season.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second half of that game, San Francisco was able to mount a 91-yard touchdown drive, mm-hmm. and it was a 30-yard bobbling completion to a reception by a tight end who was on the backside of the play, wasn't one of the primary targets on the play.
He had checked down, and he was guarded by a nose guard.
Exactly. And Neville Gallimore is chasing Kittle down the field. And that put him in position into four down territory, mm-hmm. At midfield. And they were able to. And even with that, as we talked about last week, Kittle made the smart play getting into the grill of Donovan Wilson on a 3rd-and-8 play that negated a sack. That would have been a field goal attempt of about 40 yards for San Francisco. Instead, they get a first down at the 10-yard line, and they get the touchdown, which was the difference in the game. They win by a touchdown.
Why does that stuff happen to the Cowboys? Why?
Because we're suckers. That's why.
He got
suckered.
Why didn't the Cowboys have a catch that wasn't a catch mm-hmm. that didn't get challenged? To me, that was the play of the game.
That was huge.
How do you
that
not challenge that? When I see a wide, and I don't think the wide receiver's smart enough to fake it out Like when he gets up and says, like, hey, let's
hurry
go.
Up, we got to snap they it. Have, they had a signal. It right. was, it yeah. was something. It was, yeah. yeah.
We got to snap it. That so should tell the coach, even if I haven't seen.
Right.
It's okay. It's a timeout. Big
one timeout
deal.
In the
it's first half. It's a first half timeout.
Yes. Right. In yes. the first half.
It's not like it's going to be a game-winning drive right. and I don't have it. And it's like, challenge it. I mean,
when he gets up with that sense of urgency.
Yes.
And he does something like this. Yeah. That means, come on, guys.
And everybody's up. Running to the line of scrimmage. That should tell you something. Challenge it. Oh, gosh. And then, you know, and his explanation was, well, I never got to see it. Well, they're not going to show
they're
you that on the big
you're in
screen.
Philly, right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And TV didn't help their guys in the box because they didn't show the replay that showed it that the ball came out until after the next play. So he was a little bit hamstrung, but still, just go ahead and challenge it. It's such a big play early in the game.
I think
Andy Reid challenged it, right?
Yeah, he did.
The same kind of situation, mm-hmm. and he won. Or no, did he lose? I can't. I don't remember. But well, I just remember he challenged it.
In the San Francisco game, I what disappointed me was how well I saw that Philly offensive line handle the San
right.
Francisco defense.
Right.
I mean, these guys have been dominating all year long, and they just wore them down as time went on. You could just see them getting weaker and weaker. And, of course, the turnovers didn't help at all in regards to San Francisco. But their defense would usually answer regardless. They couldn't answer every bell this time. Too many quarterbacks going down, too many turnovers, and it wasn't just, it didn't seem like they were necessarily physically being handled. I think their spirit left after, like, okay, another fumble, another turnover.
Well, and it's
scoring territory.
Right, the fumble at the end of the first half. I mean, it's a 14-7 game, and San Francisco is in shotgun. They've a minute and a half left, whatever it was. They're thinking, okay, with Josh Johnson, who's changed teams 13 times in his career and was on the Denver.
Still doesn't know how to take a snap.
But he was on the Denver practice squad last month, right. Okay? He hadn't been with you all year. And he's going to, against a pass rush like that,
yeah.
is going to engineer a last-minute drive to get you in field goal range. Just go to the house, okay? Just get to the house.
Yeah.
Now, it was simply a shotgun snap. That he fumbles, okay, but that was huge.
Yeah,
I mean, if they get to the house at halftime down 14-7, okay, even without a quarterback,
right.
it's still your one-score game.
But and even though he fumbled it because it was right to him, he had the ball until his offensive lineman stepped on it. Offensive lineman stepped on
he
it.
He still seemed to be hesitant. I didn't see him go with aggression. It was as if he was ashamed to have the ball. You know what I'm saying?
But he was like this.
You got to bring it in, bro. I mean, he wasn't bringing it in. He was kind of like, okay, I got it, guys. No, you have to bring that in. I mean, this is football. This is not like you're kicking around a water balloon.
But you know, but to take Bill's point, at that point it was 14-7. You just go in halftime. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy and
why are we being aggressive here?
And then, you know, and I think I don't remember if Olsen said or not. He goes, well, we're going to find out if they get that first down, then they're probably going to go, right? Because they took over at like the, I want to say the 12 or something, 14. And then they got the first down,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it's like, okay, here we go with Josh Johnson.
Who, by the way, came into the league at age 23 in 2009, and this was his 40th game that he's gotten into in the NFL. 1-8 record as a starting quarterback in his 13 years in the
you
NFL.
You know where his career was headed before yesterday. Straight into the coach's office.
Right.
That's where it was headed. He had a clipboard has already been put in his hand more than a football in his entire career. He's had a clipboard probably in his hand more than he's had a football in his hand.
So 10 years in the league, right? 13 teams?
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
So that means
he's been with San Francisco three times.
Three times.
Yeah.
Come on. They're just waiting for him to just say, hey, when do you need another interim coach?
But the point is your approach with playing – Everson Walls at quarterback.
You know, it would be the same thing.
63-year-old Everson Walls at quarterback, you're not going to approach the game the same as you would, right?
Obviously not. No, I can see it wasn't. He did not. That's just, oh, man, he was. I didn't know he had been in the league that long. I knew the name.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When I saw the number of teams that he had been with, you know, I'll take it. I'll look at it this way. If I've been with this many teams, I'm not going to be scared. I mean, I'm going to be out there ready to ball because, hell, I'm older than almost everybody out there.
Okay.
So why be afraid?
All right. Obviously, we've buried the lead story here.
Yes, I know. let's get back to where we started.
So let's get back to the point of emphasis that we should have here, and that is the changes on the coaching staff. We'll get back to the games, too, because they're fun to talk about. But it finally comes down officially on Sunday night that Kellen Moore has mutually agreed with the team, the way that it was worded, to part ways, and Doug Nussmeier as well, which makes now 8 assistant coaches who have either not had their contracts renewed or mutually agreed to part ways.
So mutually meaning he had a year left on his contract, right? And it's like, okay, so I get paid for that year, and okay, fine, I'll go see if I can find another job. That's mutual.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of offensive coordinator openings around the league. So he's going to have no problem finding a job.
Yeah. The whole thing to me started to be somewhat puzzling. And I heard Mike McCarthy during his press conference on Thursday twice. In the press conference, the word came out of his mouth, economics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, economics? There's no salary cap on a coaching staff, right? And it sort of dawned on me that when that happened, that maybe somebody decided that we got too many coaches. 29.
Okay. I don't know what the norm is, but it sounds like a lot of coaches.
All I know is I went back and looked in 1966 when the Cowboys went to the first NFL championship game. It was Tom Landry and 5 assistants. In 1971, when they won the Super Bowl for the first time, it was Tom Landry and 8 assistants.
Mm-hmm.
29, and that included quality control, analytics guys. You know, and some positions had some assistant coaches at a position had an assistant to the assistant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if somebody decided it was too many or what.
Well, if you look at the pictures outside, I mean, I would imagine it grows every year. If you look at the team pictures.
Well, I did go do that, and you know what? But back in the 60s, they didn't have the assistants in the picture. Mm-hmm. It was just the players.
Just
but, yeah.
To give you an idea how many coaches there are, this is my flip card from the preseason, which I keep in my briefcase, okay? On the back side of it is all the information on all the assistant coaches on the team. It fills
it
up
took
a poster
up
board, basically. And I was about to go through it and mark out the ones who are no longer here. I'm going to have to do this whole board again for the preseason games this year because
way,
it's all changed.
But you
now.
Will have more room on that board.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Just remember.
Did you include the consultant on there also?
Which consultant?
How many consultants do they have?
Brian Schottenheimer?
Yeah, Brian Schottenheimer was not...
He didn't make your board?
He did not make it at that time. Mm-hmm. It was Jacksonville game is when he made my board because he was the offensive coordinator with Jacksonville last year.
So, yeah. So, 29. And I had a feeling when... Those guys on offense were let go, Philbin, Pete. And if you think about it, the 3 main guys that were let go, like position coaches, Philbin, Pete, and Edwards, they've been in the league the longest. I think 25, 24, and 19 years. So it was almost like I don't know if they were trying to get younger or if they were trying to get new voices in the room, It brought me back to 1997 when Switzer got fired, and all the assistants, or most, the majority of them, went along with him. And this hadn't even happened yet, and I was walking down the hallway at the ranch, and I ran into Ernie Zampezi after they lost the final six games of the season. And he just looked at me, and he goes, "Well, we're all out of here." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you know, sometimes they quit listening to you, and you got to get a new voice in there." And he goes, "And I got a feeling they quit listening to us." And he goes, "So we're gone." And sure enough, like a day or two later, Switzer got fired and everybody else got fired. And, you know, and Ernie was a really good coach, but they decided a new voice. So I don't know if that was part of it. Well, I don't know if you guys got a theory, but that's my theory.
That's definitely entered my mind. You look at the ages of the play of the coaches that were let go. Rob Davis, 54 years old. Now Kellen Moore is only 34. Doug Nussmeier's 52. Skip Pete turns 59 today. As a matter of
happy birthday!
Yeah,
wow,
either 59 or 60 today. Today's January 30th.
28, 29.
30. Today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Skip Pete.
Yeah.
Philbin, 61. Let's see.
George Edwards.
George Edwards is 55. He just turned 55.
But I want to say he was in the league the longest. I want to say he's 25
years. 25 years.
Pete was 24 and Philbin was 19.
Leon Lett, 12 years with the Cowboys, 54 years old.
An assistant to the assistant. And Rob Davis was basically Mike's kind of right-hand man. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't really coaching anything. So I think Kyle Valera was a quality
9 years
guy.
Here, I think, for Kyle.
The linebacker coach, what was his name? The linebacker coach.
George Edwards.
Yeah. Senior defensive assistant and linebacker.
Now, that one somewhat surprised me from the production of the linebackers and how the defense played.
So, now Dan Quinn was under contract, but Dan Quinn was interviewing for head coaching jobs, and in fact had a second interview with Arizona, and then that's when, after that interview, is when he announced he's coming back. So they sweeten the pot for Dan Quinn, and
is that how they?
You know what?
Is that how they afforded
and
the sweetener by getting rid of all the coaches?
Yeah. Does that play into it at all?
Economics,
economics,
economics. There,
or did they have to? Because again, if you're going into your second go around as a head coach, don't you want to go into a good situation, not a bad situation?
Here's one of those
five were bad situations because of the quarterback
position. Do you want to coach Micah Parsons or Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it on the Arizona job.
Or Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And I don't have any first round
or
picks.
Indianapolis, whoever.
Yeah.
Sam Ehlinger or whoever at quarterback.
I mean, just look at the coaches and the quarterbacks in those five teams, right? There's a reason why they didn't win. And know what they were doing at quarterback. Houston, what are you doing at quarterback? So,
well, they're getting one of the two.
Yeah. But are they really good? I mean, are they, you know, sink your teeth into them? Now, I think the kid from Alabama is pretty darn good. But still, it's an unknown. It's not a sure thing. You never know what the guy above you is going to do in the draft. They could trade it and say, "No, I want three picks, not one." So, but yeah, if I'm Quinn, I'd have been choosy because I don't want to fail. You fail the second time,
right. That's it. Well, he's already been there once, so it's not like it's something new for him. You can dangle that carrot in front of him again, and he's like, "Okay, I've seen this before. I'm going to go in here." You know, I'm a little more cautious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I'm gonna take one, it's got to be a really good situation, which those situations don't occur, right? If it's a really good situation.
Right. All right. Let's dive in when we come back because we're already 20 minutes in. Let's dive into who the new play caller is for this offense when we come back on Mixed Shots in just a moment.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh, well, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
To mixed shots.
Cape Post Roofing and Waterproofing, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. From corporate homes to your home, have your roof checked by choice, not by chance. Call now, 214-225-4860. That's capepostcompany.com.
All right. Monday morning at 11 o'clock, that's our regular time for mixed shots during the off season, and we are 22 minutes into this thing, and we've talked about the movement on the offensive coaching staff in general, and as far as the offensive play caller goes, Kellen Moore, of course, has officially been let go, and your new play caller, Mickey Spagnuolo, who would you like it to be?
I said all along, if they made this change, then Mike McCarthy needs to be the offensive coordinator. And I don't know that he'll have that title, but if he's calling plays, it might as well be Mike McCarthy, the offensive coordinator. I would imagine they hire somebody to help out with the day-to-day work, practice schedule, you know, setting up stuff. And who knows, now that they are not renewing Doug Nussmeier's contract as the quarterback coach, maybe whoever becomes that guy taking care of Mike day to day is also a quarterback coach.
And maybe you hire a veteran assistant who can be on the sideline too, or up in the booth as a game manager type.
Yes.
Too, because if your head coach is also the play caller, there are things during the course of a game he might have to be involved in where he can't. You might need some assistance managing the game.
Yes,
I always thought that there were times when McCarthy was calling the plays. Was I wrong about that?
No, I agree.
Was there a moment during the season where he's like, "Look,
I don't think he was calling.
I'm going to weigh in heavily right. on this yes. one this
yeah.
week."
And I always told people when they want to blame Kellen for everything, and it's like he's not an independent contractor, right? Mike's got a say
yes, he does.
And you know, there's a reason why he's got a headset on and a sheet in his hand.
That's called the game
right?
plan.
Yes, that's the plays that they decided, right? And I'm sure there were times it's like, let me
veto that.
I mean, you know, that happened with Jason Garrett when he was the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that he vetoed plays, and it's not, no, we don't want to do that.
Right.
Right? But I thought if they were going to make a change, and I'm the head coach, and this is what my expertise is, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down on my own, right? Because of my off. You know, and the hard thing to figure out is, Nine games in a row, they averaged 36 points a game with that guy as the coordinator.
Yep.
Right? And I understand what happened in the playoff game with San Francisco.
The last two San Francisco playoff games.
Yeah. What'd they score? 17 and 12.
12, right.
So 20, that's 29 divided by 2 is 14 and a half a game.
And then when you look at yesterday's, just the first drive by the Eagles.
Right.
The first play I saw, I think it was Lance Johnson, the offensive lineman?
Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson. Yeah. I saw them just blowing 49ers off the ball. He and Kelce were dominating yesterday. I have the first drive, I saw nothing but holes to run through. And I'm thinking to myself,
yeah, where were those holes?
Man, they handled a 49er defense that was the first in everything. But here comes the offense also that is first in everything. And in this particular case, offense won out. I mean, they came out double teaming the right. The blocking scheme was amazing. All you saw was daylight for the Philadelphia running backs on that first drive. I took some pictures of it because it was just that glaring. And see, that to me lets you know that there's got to be room for improvement for the Cowboys.
Right. And either the offensive line or how you maybe scheme
it
against that defense.
Yes.
Right? Because guys that dominated for them against the Cowboys did not dominate against Philadelphia.
They did not.
But the Eagles' offensive line stepped up and played well.
They sure did.
You know, and then on the other side, think about it. Philly's defense, it's like, and I know what happened, right? You're on the third quarterback. The Cowboys held him to 19
points. And there's no passing threat.
Right.
And
then you get to the fourth quarterback, and then the third guy's got to come in and he can't throw. Okay, you're done, right? But, you know, the Cowboys, without those turnovers, they would have held him to 13 points.
That's right.
Debo did nothing in that game.
No one did anything except for Kittle.
And if you look at what they did against the Cowboys, he did very little. McCaffrey did very little.
Mm-hmm.
They used those turnovers to get 6 points. If you don't get those turnovers and give them just 6 points, and then the plays that Bill pointed out on the touchdown drive – you know, you held them till 6.
By that time,
points.
They were already depleted. You know, our defense. By that time, we were already, you know, we were just like San Francisco's defense ended up being. They were a little bit, you know, just tired. The spirit was out of them at that time. And, you know, after a while, they lay on you long enough and you keep putting them in position. Your offense keeps putting their offense in position to score. That's deflating for a defense. I don't care how good you are.
Well,
we saw that San Francisco did the same thing. Their defense was deflated as well, and they played like it.
And San Francisco's offense was able to be two-dimensional against Dallas because they had the lead in the game. Just like the formula for success for Philadelphia all season long, they've been playing from ahead. I mean, you look back at the Cowboys back in 2016, Dak and Zeke's first year in the league, and invariably, the Cowboys would start the game with a touchdown drive. They go 75 yards every single game for a touchdown. So you're playing from ahead 7-0
Eagles,
to start the game.
The Eagles have that same.
Think about the Dallas-San Francisco playoff game. We talked going into that game how inexperienced the interior offensive line for San Francisco was. They're starting a guy, Jake Brendel, out of Plano East High School. He's been a journeyman backup his entire career, and he came in this year, started for Alex Mack, a perennial Pro Bowler who retired, and they've got two offensive guards who are first-year starters. Three guys in the interior offensive line, so it's little wonder that Philadelphia dominated the interior of their offensive line when they were having to be one-dimensional because they didn't have a quarterback.
We did it
early in the game against San Francisco. You remember Osa, first play of the game, he's breaking through to get a sack. Yeah,
they were on fire.
Exactly.
They were on fire.
But the way that game played out, because of the turnovers that the Cowboys had in the first half of that game, you're playing from behind, mm-hmm. and San Francisco was able to maintain control of the game, don't turn the ball over, and they could use the run to set up the pass, basically.
Right. So. The other thing that occurred to me is San Francisco, during their winning streak,
So what was it, 11 straight going into the Cowboys game?
Mm-hmm.
The fewest points they scored during that streak going into the Cowboys game was 13. The Saints lost to them 13-0. Cowboys held them to 19 points.
Yeah.
You know, you had a chance to win. And then the other thing, if you look at Philadelphia, talking about their defense, yeah, okay. Cowboys put 40 on them. And that had nothing to do with Jalen Hurts not playing, right? They put 40 on them. That was the most they'd given up all year long. So when everybody says, well, how do the Cowboys match up with Philadelphia? Well, darn well, right? The game they lost, it was 2017, what, going in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up that drive and made it 27-17 with your backup quarterback, by the way. So they played them. They played their pants off. You would have loved to seen the third time around. And they came up 7 points short.
When you look at this Cowboys team and you look at the playoff game against the 49ers, that was a game that could have been won by either team. And that's just how tight that game was.
Right.
And, of course, the turnovers made the difference in the ball game. But when you see how we match up extremely well against any team in the NFL, period. And that's what I was thinking on the way over here. We put 40 on these guys. I mean, we put 40 on them. Forget what they did to our defense. Our offense put 40 on this defense that's supposed to be so good. And it wasn't like their offense put them in any bad position, any more unusual position and bad position than our offense put our defense in. And we still handled them. We handled them offensively extremely well. So, when you start making changes, I remember Tom Landry making changes back in 83. He said, we're right there. All we got to do is just get over the hump. Well, the changes he made set us back.
Bigger hump.
And we never got back to where we were. So I'm hope they're very strategic in how they're handling this coaching departure. But getting back to Kellen Moore, his position of strength now, right? Are you feeling better about yourself because you don't have a job and you can go get all these opportunities now? Or don't you think you're stronger if you're having negotiations while you have a job.
You have a job. That's right. I mean, he is interviewing for the Carolina Panthers head coaching job last Tuesday, Wednesday.
After being released.
Second interview. No, he hadn't been released yet from the Cowboys. Okay. And the reports out of Carolina were that they were blown away by his interview. And he made it a ball game all the way down to the wire because Carolina wanted to hire Frank Reich. But he gave Carolina pause that, well, maybe we should hire this guy instead. All right. He comes back to Dallas, has a meeting with Mike McCarthy, and now he's without a job. And he's not, as you say, he's not negotiating with other teams from a position of strength.
That's correct.
But he's got an interview with the Chargers.
That's right.
And with the Chargers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Offense coordinator job.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Somebody,
they're mad out there? They're still mad?
Somebody tweeted out, and I thought it was very fitting. It said, Kellen Moore will be the next offensive coordinator for the University of Alabama.
Well, they're looking too.
Right? They are.
But I wouldn't want to go down to college.
As long as I'm not the head coach.
Well, Bill O'Brien did it.
Right?
Bill O'Brien did it, and he was, in the last couple of years, has been the OC for Alabama after Sark took the – all right, Sark did
it. That is not a good comparison.
Okay, Sark did it.
Yeah, it's good.
No, Bill O'Brien.
And now
on,
he's
man.
Not
– What happened with Sark?
What happened with Sark?
Okay. He was Kyle Shanahan got – if I'm not mistaken on this, wasn't Sark with the Falcons? And then he goes to Atlanta, to Alabama.
Right.
And now he's the head coach of the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So there are so many coaches. I would love to get a count on the number of coaches who have gone to Nick Saban and been either a consultant or a coordinator on their staff at Alabama for a year just to revive their career. It's like a rehab center in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
Uh-huh.
They've got a feed meal going.
Well, didn't Kiffin do it too?
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, after he got fired, mm-hmm. and he went to Alabama, and then he gets hired at Ole Miss.
These are all Belichick and Saban tentacles all over the place.
Jason Garrett, after his playing career, I mean, it was his first coaching job, right. was with the Dolphins under Nick Saban. And then he wound up going to Dallas and became the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
So maybe McCarthy and Kellen Moore have this wink-wink. Hey, I'm going to let you go so you can go to Carolina.
About it, though. On Kellen Moore, he really should look into that Alabama job because it would open up avenues for college opportunities and he would still have the NFL opportunities. Just spend a year there with Saban and, you know, I don't know who they got coming back at quarterback.
And not just
– That can also kill your career.
Bryce is gone. Bryce is leaving.
But his other plus is look at what he did for Dak. So if you need a guy that's your coordinator but can develop a quarterback,
right.
He did it, yeah. right? He did it.
Mm-hmm. Now he goes to Los Angeles and is the Chargers OC, and he gets Justin Herbert over the hump.
Yeah.
Then he's going to get a head coaching job really quick. So anyway.
All right, we got it figured out.
Very, very interesting. And we got
that
a break.
Was very interesting.
Another break to take, and we got more mixed shots in just a moment.
That was a lot.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh, yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar?
Great job, honey!
Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
To mixed shots.
Just steps away from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters in Frisco, visit the Star District, your destination for excellent dining, premier shopping, and exciting events. Visit thestardistrict.com for more information.
All right, Mickey has not won. But 2 legal pads in front of him. So what is on?
These were my championship game legal pad.
Oh, your championship game.
I took kind of notes on.
So you're sitting on your couch and you're taking notes.
Every once in a while, I'd write something down.
Okay. Well, you pick from whichever legal pad you want to pick, your Cowboy legal pad or your Championship Sunday legal pad, and set the agenda for this segment, our last segment this week.
Oh, I was doing this.
Only segment.
No, look, I was doing this all from memory, and I had this down. Edwards, 25th year in the NFL. Pete, 24th. Philbin, 19. I was starting to worry about.
See, that proves my point. That's why.
You write it down.
I write
you remember
it down on my little flip cards for preseason games. If I write it down,
yep.
I remember it.
Yep.
There you go.
Absolutely. So
he can't remember what he's got on his legal pad, though.
He'll get there. He's coming.
Yeah, I gotta go through it. No, I was.
My question is: Do you want to talk Cowboys? Or you want to talk championship games?
We didn't settle who's taking whose spots, but I think there's a possibility some promotions from within. What do you think about my idea about Brian Schottenheimer? Didn't he was an offensive coordinator, right? And I think he was maybe
how well did they do when he was offensive coordinator?
Well, I didn't check that out.
Yeah,
I mean, he can be something, but you're talking good at it. He was never a head coach, was he?
Nope, but his dad was a
His dad was pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike knew him, right?
Yeah, going back to when, well, Mike was on Schottenheimer's staff in Kansas City in the 90s, and so Brian was around.
A kid mm-hmm. at that point. I think he talked about it at one point.
All right, so you want to know the coaching resume of one Brian Schottenheimer, mm-hmm. who is 49 years old. So he's just 10 years younger than Mike McCarthy. Starting back in 1997, the Rams, an assistant with the Rams, Kansas City in 98, an assistant, then Syracuse in 99, USC 2000, Washington quarterbacks coach in 01,
mm-hmm.
Chargers for 4 years, quarterbacks coach, 02 through 05, okay, so that's when Breeze came into the league as a,
right,
okay. And when Philip Rivers came into the league, mm-hmm. quarterbacks coach. Jets 06 through 2011, so 6 years as the offensive coordinator of the Jets. 3 years with the Rams offensive coordinator, 12 through 14. Some Sam Bradford in there.
Mm-hmm.
15, Georgia offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. So 1 year back in college. There you go. There you get the old college. Now back into the NFL with the Colts. Quarterbacks coach in 16 and 17. Seattle offensive coordinator 18 through 20 with Russell Wilson. And then Urban Meyer.
16 and 17, that would be.
16 17 with Indianapolis Colts. With Andrew Luck still playing
Andrew
there.
Yeah, Andrew Luck. That's what
quarterbacks
I was
coach.
Andrew Luck
in
was there.
In his heyday.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Seattle as the offensive coordinator for 3 years from 18 through 20. And then Urban Meyer hired him as the passing game coordinator for Jacksonville in Trevor Lawrence's rookie season in 21 and a coaching analyst this year with the Cowboys.
So when that staff got wiped out, he got wiped out at mm-hmm. Jacksonville, right? So
he can't take credit for anything that Lawrence is doing right now.
Yeah, right. Or blame maybe for what happened his rookie year when they threw him into the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got a resume to, you know.
He's affiliated with
depending,
good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Unless somebody hires him for one of those OC jobs that are open to really be the play call.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that'll be.
And I haven't heard his name being mentioned, bandied about.
Yeah.
So we're going to banty it about now.
We're getting it out there.
Mm-hmm. For this job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's familiar with it.
You know, and the big thing, what do you think the big thing is for whoever is in Dak's ear? I'm not talking about necessarily during the game, but on a daily basis. What is it about that where you could see the most improvement that Dak could make from what you saw this year?
Maybe,
from a coaching standpoint.
Maybe emphasize, and this hasn't happened before. That's why this is weird.
That's
right.
Right. That's exactly right.
Emphasizing patience, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Just slow down? I mean,
trying to progress too fast.
Look at the game he played against Tampa Bay in the playoffs. I mean, sometimes I just think this offensive stuff comes down to matchups. And in the bottom line against San Francisco was the Cowboys were one wide receiver short.
Mm-hmm.
Short. They were not if they took CD away, where's he going? You know, and Hilton helped, but the guy hadn't played all year long. Now, in spots, but he's not going to be an every down player all of a sudden. And Michael Gallup just was not the same Michael Gallup that he was the year before he tore his ACL.
We didn't even use him the same either.
No.
If you recall, before Michael Gallup got hurt, he was our only deep threat. I still have visions of Dak dropping dimes right in his right front pocket and on the sideline where they perfected that fade route And it wasn't always in the red zone. There were plenty of times it was out in the field. Perfected that fade route 30 yards down the field. He's on the sidelines. Dak's dropping it in there. They've done that many, many times.
But think about—
did not do that this year
at all. The situation they were in, though, with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, you started the season off with CeeDee Lamb, Noah Brown, and Dennis Houston for those first couple games,
mm-hmm.
right? And they were banking on Jalen Tolbert being that next guy, and he never stepped into the role or didn't get the opportunity, whatever.
He stepped offsides.
Stepped out of the role, right? Yeah.
He lined up offsides.
And even then, when he got back, it was him and Noah Brown. And teams were just like, and despite all that, CeeDee Lamb goes for, 107 catches for 1,300 yards?
Mm-hmm.
I just thought in that it showed up in this, and it always happens in the playoffs, right? Whatever your weakness is, somehow it gets exposed.
It sure will.
And I just think they were a wide receiver short.
So how long do you think it'll take before Kellen Moore finds a job?
End of the week.
How about the end of the hour?
He already got one?
Yes.
Chargers?
Kellen Moore expected to become the Chargers OC.
Hmm.
What does that tell you?
He's going to Los Angeles.
What does that tell you, Mickey?
That somebody thought he was pretty darn good at what he does.
Because mm-hmm. that's a hell of a quarterback that he's,
right.
he's going to be calling plays for.
Yeah. As soon as he became available, the Chargers jumped right on it.
Yeah.
And his history with that team, any of those coaches? Is there
glaring? Brandon Staley is the head coach. The offensive coordinator before was Joe Lombardi, who was with Peyton with New Orleans for years.
Right.
So
he was there.
He
was the OC, got let
he
go.
Was.
He got laid off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't. That's kind of unfair. I mean, they did a decent job. It was some of the play calling, to me. I don't mean offensive play calling, but some decisions made by the head
coach. Head coach, yeah.
Yeah, that really kills the Chargers.
I mean, he goes for it all the time.
All the time.
Down,
yeah.
Even from his own 15-yard line.
Kellen stepping from the frying pan into the fire.
Or, maybe he'll make the guy be a little more conservative.
Man, hopefully. Right?
Staley.
I guess our Alabama idea is not working.
Yeah, he didn't have to go to rehab.
That quick, huh?
Rehab. That's a good
He rehabbed a lot of coaches there.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
That's right. That's why it's funny.
Staley in the NFL has been with the Bears, obviously on the defensive side of the ball, the Bears for 2 years, then the Broncos for 1 year, and then was a defensive coordinator with McVay with the Rams in 2020 before he got the Chargers.
If I remember, the Chargers had
Vic Fangio guy.
They were in the playoffs, right? First round?
Yeah.
They had wide receiver problems. They had guys hurt, if I remember watching
Williams
that game.
Williams got it.
Keenan Allen to start the year was hurt.
Yeah. Right.
And then Mike Williams.
Mike Williams.
They also lost Guyton to an injury, too.
That's right. And he was
turning out to be one of their big third
receiver was awfully good.
Yeah.
So he's stepping into a pretty good situation with
Herbert.
I'm trying to think.
Eckler.
Eckler. Thank you.
Running back.
I was going to say Eichler. Eckler. Yeah. So that's not a bad situation.
No, not at all. It's very glamorous, as a matter of fact.
As long as
everyone's talking about, everyone's giving Herbert, he's the next Patrick Mahomes. They're already giving it to him.
Yeah.
And he hadn't even had to earn that yet.
Okay. Think about this though. All right, Kellen Moore is. I got to look at my Chargers. All right. What often happens is a coach goes someplace else, and now he starts picking players in free agency from the team he just left.
Right.
Dalton Schultz, Chargers. Tony Pollard, Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
They could be players for those free agents.
Mm. Well, the Cowboys just need to make sure that Tony Pollard's not a free agent.
It's in their power to do that.
Right. The hard part on that one, and boy, we can spend a whole show on free agents, right?
And we will be,
and maybe maybe next in
gotta
between
have some kind of material.
We'll have the in between week for the Super Bowl, right? What's his market value? because I just saw somebody.
You're talking Pollard?
Yeah. Somebody ranked, it was NFL Network. Somebody picked their top 51 free agents. The Cowboys have 20 of them, right? I think
20 of their top 51 are
No. The Cowboys have 20 free agents. Yeah, you jumped the gun on that one. And I think of all the guys the Cowboys had at free agents, only, I want to say, two of them were in the top 51. And it was Pollard and Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
So where are people – what do you think the market value is going to be for Tony Pollard? Is he – a guy that's your lead running back? He's never done it before.
That's a tough one.
Are you going to hand it to him 20, 25 times a game for 17 games? Or is he going to be used the way the Cowboys used him, which is very valuable, but from a financial standpoint, what's the value for that, right? Because for if you franchise him, it's $10.1 million on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure his guy, whoever it is saying, okay, whatever I sign for, I got to make $10 million this year. And I'm wondering if, that's going to take place.
I mean, but to me, the glaring thing is, what about his injuries? What about surgery? How's he going to play after this?
Right.
How's he going to feel? What kind of mobility we have? We still haven't even talked about the second part of his injury, right? And that's the ankle.
No, the ankle part, that's where the surgery was.
Okay.
They ended up not doing surgery to put a plate on the fibula
okay.
that he fractured.
There you go.
But the tibia and fibula down by the ankle, mm-hmm. where you usually have a high ankle sprain, mm-hmm. is where they did the surgery. Where's he at? And then with Schultz, they franchised him once. You franchise him again, it goes from $11 million to $14 million. You going to take a chance there? Do you like Ferguson, Pendershot?
I like him.
Pendershot?
But
Payton.
I'm not sure if I like him as a lead tight end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you don't know.
By the way, the Chargers, they have Gerald Everett at tight end, who has 1 year left on his contract. He'll be 29, and he had 58 catches this year. So, and then Eckler has one more year on his contract. He'll be 28 years old.
Getting back to the tight ends, that was a time when we didn't trust Schultz that much either.
Mm-hmm.
We had Jarwin, and Schultz was the big, the big guy that was when we want some blocking done. Let's bring in Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
Then he turned into Jarwin. All mm-hmm. of a sudden, he doesn't block as well, but he was surely catching that ball.
Yeah, he first came in the year, we had Witten, too.
Right? See? So now, why can't Hendershot or the other young man be developed?
Jake Ferguson.
I mean, I could see them being developed. Both of those guys very good.
And then McEwen served a role, better. Too, as a third tight end, third,
and
fourth
so
tight end.
And so you got three right there. You have three. Yeah. Now, McEwen, I don't think, is going to develop. To be all around,
right?
Like
but
the
Ferguson
other
has the chance, and Hendershot, especially as
both
a receiving. You can see both of them being a pretty good tandem.
And they
wide
can
receiver.
Block.
That's right.
And both of them can block.
That's right.
So it'll be interesting to see how other people value him,
mm-hmm.
right? What are they willing to pay him? Because he's not Kittle, right? He's not that type of tight end.
But he's solid.
He's not Kelsey.
He's solid, though.
But he's solid.
He is solid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to, this last game, unusual, but he has always been dependable. I mean, he's made some plays, of course, some mistakes like anybody else, but he's always been somebody that your quarterback can depend on for that outlet.
See, that last game kind of stigmatized.
Yeah, I know. Don't you hate that? I didn't even want to bring it up.
It's not the last game. It's the last series of the last
game. Yeah, I know. And that's even worse. I don't want to bring that up.
Not for him. The whole offense.
Right.
Oh, I guess.
Everybody just thinks back to that game.
Yeah.
They forget what they had done offensively mm-hmm. the whole season, despite the interceptions, right?
And despite them. And we're talking Schultz here. He has been as consistent as anyone uh-huh. on this receiving corps.
And made big catches.
Big catches. Mm-hmm. Touchdowns.
At
open
big
when
times.
You want them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the offensive line played decently. And then the playoff game, it's like, well, what happened to the offensive line?
Well, it becomes a money issue, though.
And
I mean, if all things are equal and you don't have to be concerned about your salary cap, then yeah, you keep them.
Keep all of them.
I mean, don't you want to keep Donovan Wilson? You know, what's going to happen there?
Definitely do.
Yes, we do.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
And you know.
Van Der Esch.
Man.
And then what happens with Anthony Brown? Because you saw when you didn't have him what happened.
You played two cornerbacks your last game. Only two cornerbacks were
I'm
on the field.
I'm telling you guys, I still got him. Joseph's still my guy.
You saw the Chiefs game yesterday. They lose a cornerback early in that game to a concussion. You see the kid that had the interception on the tip pass?
Yeah.
Fourth-round rookie Joshua Williams out of Fayetteville State had the interception in the AFC Championship game.
But the play was the one that tipped it.
But the guy that tipped
right.
it.
Yeah, right. It's a rookie.
Cook, right?
And the Cook, Brian rookie. Cook, he's a rookie
Man,
also.
That guy
safety
played,
from
he
Cincinnati.
Stepped up yesterday.
That's right.
That secondary's really stepped up for the Chiefs yesterday.
But the point is, you need, and it's an old saying in the league, you can't ever have enough cornerbacks. Well, the Cowboys ran out of cornerbacks.
I never heard that before. That's not what Gil Brandt said when we were negotiating.
And as we close here,
yes.
Okay, the end of that Kansas City game.
Sad. I hate endings like that.
Yeah, and Joseph Osai out of Texas. What a good kid he is. I mean, he is a great person.
And he was playing so well and so hard.
He was in my big green notebook going into last year, and he didn't get much playing time. I don't know if he's hurt or whatever. And so I was just very pleased to see here late in the season. And in that game – And the plays right before it, they were talking about how what a great game. He's all over the place. Yeah, and then that happens to him. And
By the time the game was over, I knew who he was.
Yeah. Now everybody knows.
Where he sat on the sidelines long enough. Let's go to the locker room. Don't let them break you down like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the visual that you want when they think, okay, this guy, what was his name again?
Joseph Osai.
For Osai, when you think of Osai, that is not the visual you want everyone to see.
Sitting on the bench by himself. Like the last guy off the field.
Don't like that. I've been there with the catch game. I took my butt in the locker room. The last thing I wanted to do was be out there looking around like, oh, what was me? No, get your butt in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Well, he kind of hurt himself, too.
Well, yeah, he got hurt on the play also going into the bench.
And a little bit, Mahomes sold it, too.
Well, it looked worse in real time.
Yes.
But then as you saw the replay,
he's clearly out of bounds.
He was clearly out, but it wasn't as egregious as it looked.
Yeah.
Well,
in
the other thing is,
it was like,
I mean, it's easy.
And then he goes flying into the poor man over there.
No, the guy that got rolled up.
And I don't know. And I don't know if Osai has a history of late hits out of bounds. I mean, there are guys that play that we see on a regular basis. He did it again. Okay. And so some Bengal fans may be saying, Osai, oh, there's Osai. He did it again. I don't know. But it's so much easier when we're watching on television and we see where that sideline is, or we're up in the press box and we're looking down from a bird's eye view.
We're not chasing a man.
We're not running 90 miles an hour across the field
trying to see where the out of bounds is.
And as he explained after the game, his goal was to get him pushed back, like forward progress. His goal was to get there fast enough to where they would count him as being down in bounds. So
I was going to say, what is happening?
Oh, I thought you were flashing.
It was time to go.
You saw it reminded me of my mother when I was sitting in the driveway with somebody and she
Mickey,
started
blinking. Mickey, we got to get out of the building.
He wants to tell his own story. We got to go.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue next Monday at 11 a.m. here on Mick Shots.
Go Cowboys.
Say a prayer for us.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!